Next Level You on KFOR FM 103.3 1240 AM. Thanks to the good folks at Alevation Health. Matt Duffy is joining me. Matt has been here the last few weeks talking about the many services provided by Alevation. Matt, thanks a lot for coming in again on a weekend. We're going to put all of this together, the conversations that we've had the past couple of weeks. I got to say, you've helped me understand a very complicated situation. And if you've missed any of these conversations with Matt, go to the Alevation website. You'll see a podcast link on the right side of the homepage. Click on it. The shows from previous conversations are all there, and you'll be able to put your mind around all the services provided by Alevation Health, and we'll call it integrated care. The psychiatry, pharmaceutical, and the primary care. These services tied together under one roof seems innovative to me.
That's a great place to start the conversation. Integrated care is a topic that's picking up steam and widely supported by the medical community. But implementing it, it proves to be more difficult than I think people originally thought going into this 10 years ago or so when it started to become a popular idea. So when we talk integrated care, normally we're referring to primary care and or family practice and psychiatry. Those are the two big focuses today for what we want to integrate and what a lot of other clinics want to integrate. And that really started from a couple of thought processes or beliefs in medicine changing over time. One of which was historically thinking that the mind and body were separate from a medical perspective. If you had mental conditions and if you had physical conditions, they were not connected at all. So there wasn't a lot of need for your primary care docs to talk to your behavioral health care docs, because what you were going for in primary care, whether it's diabetes or pain or any of these things, why would that be connected to your depression or ADHD or OCD or any of those things? And what we found over time, and what the majority of the medical community says now, is that's just false. The belief that the mind and body are separate from a disease standpoint is no longer factual.
It's all one body.
It's all one body, and everything's connected, right? So the bigger part that came out of that is what we're finding is if you have comorbid disorders, so if you have a primary care issue or a cardio issue or anything physical in the physical world, and you have something in the mental, depression, ADHD, OCD, down the line. If you don't treat both of them, it's very hard to treat one on its own. We pretty much reach a ceiling of how much better one condition can get without the other one also improving. So there used to be a concept too of let's focus on one problem at a time. Let's get this better before we move on to the next thing. And it was almost always that the one thing would never get better and we'd never move on to the next thing because of that relationship that I can only get so much better until everything's improving. The other reason that primary care and behavioral are the focus of integrated care is the amount of behavioral conditions that are traditionally treated in primary care. And this is something that people are looking to change going forward, I think, is the amount of casework that primary care providers handle for behavioral conditions. I was just looking up a few statistics to refresh myself before coming in here. But in the past couple of years, publications have said things like 70% of primary care visits stem from a mental health reason. So the reason you're going to your primary care doc is you have something, a complaint about your mental status. And then with that, the primary care providers are treating 75% of those cases. So instead of referring onto behavioral, they're taking over care for that patient. And there's a lot of reasons why that happens. Some places, you talk rural Nebraska, for example, there are no behavioral health specialists. So just like there aren't a lot of other specialists, so primary care handles a lot more workload in those areas than others. But it's also historically true around the U.S. That it's really hard to get into mental health providers. There aren't enough of them to meet demand. So that falls a lot then on the primary care providers. And then going back a couple years, but it's getting better. Stigma. I'd prefer my primary care provider to treat me because I don't want to go see the psychiatrist. But primary care providers aren't educated to treat behavioral health. They're more of a, they learn a little about everything so they can make referrals, right? They're supposed to be the quarterback to tell you where you need to go to get help, not necessarily fill the role of the running back and the wide receiver and those things as well. They facilitate, if you think of healthcare as the ball, they facilitate who the ball needs to go to. So one of the ways of thinking of how to address it is, let's just bring those two specialties together. They interoperate so specifically to one another. And so many cases we're finding dual operate. The ability for those two specialties to communicate in real time even goes up. So one of the things of healthcare that not a lot of people talk about, it's just a fact of reality, is your doctors don't talk to each other. If you go to a primary care in East Lincoln and a cardiologist down the street from them, they don't talk. It'd be great if they did. If there's ever something super emergent, of course they're going to talk, but they really rely on you to go to the other one and communicate what happened today, which some people don't even realize they're supposed to do, right? Why would
Or
it's lost in the translation, or I forgot what happened, or I don't think it's that important. To me, it wasn't super important, so I'm not going to recommunicate that. List the reasons why the communication falls. But the idea that your doctors are going to talk after every visit, it's a great idea, but it just doesn't happen. So an easy way to address this is put them in the same building. And even if they don't talk, your note from your other provider's there for your other provider, and they can read it. So they don't have to rely on the patient to communicate everything. Your med list is updated. We don't have to ask you every time what meds are you on, at least from the two specialties that we have. You don't have to remember what meds you're on, because that's hard to remember some of the names of the meds that are out there. So the communication alone goes up. The other thing that it's really interesting, if we want to talk some unique cases, right, is if we look at pain. Now, this isn't going to be everybody, but we obviously have a treating pain epidemic in the U.S. Mm-hmm. with opiates and things. And I know someone personally who had significant chronic pain for years, to the point that they basically were bedridden. And what it ended up being is this unique thing that if you have a mental illness, for some people that mental illness presents itself as a physical condition. That's what happened for this person I know, that all these things that were focused on their physical care were not relevant, because what the issue was their mental. And once we were able to get their mental and behavioral in line, the pain went away. So that's a great resource for primary care docs to have sometime, is difficult cases. Hey, I keep treating this upset stomach, pain, lack of sleep. You go down the line, and the treatments that are meant to help that aren't helping. Well, let me go ask the primary or the behavioral specialist, do you think this is maybe something presenting as something else? And that referral sometimes shows a lot. Another one is, for whatever reason, there's certain diseases that are just comorbid. They present a lot more frequently together than other things. One of the big ones is depression and diabetes. If you're a diabetic, your chances of having depression go way up. If you have depression, your chances of having diabetes goes way up. Sometimes it's the chicken and the egg conversation, which one comes first and which one comes after. We haven't been able to answer that one yet. But for whatever reason, those two conditions seem to live together more frequently than random sampling would suggest. I mean, there's endless and countless examples of that.
And then the pharmaceutical component.
Yeah, so then we can get into pharmacy. We have an on-site pharmacy. And why is an on-site pharmacy important? All the data out there says if you use a pharmacy that's on-site, your outcomes go up. There's a lot of reasons for why they go up, but a couple key ones are your pharmacist plays a huge role in your healthcare. A lot of times they're the only person who knows every medication that you're on. having that information available to doctors is, again, going to increase your healthcare. So having a resource in-house that can tell us every med that you're on is beneficial, again, because, one, you don't have to remember the meds that you're on. So on and so forth. A couple other key things, just real quick. Sometimes the med that you're prescribed isn't covered by your insurance. So at that point, in a traditional world or setting, you're leaving our office, going to the pharmacy, finding out from the pharmacy that your med's not covered. They're contacting back to the healthcare provider. At that point, the provider's 2 hours into their day with other people, sometimes doesn't remember everything that was relevant in your case, has to go back and review your paperwork. So at that point, you may be waiting to get that prescription. Again, turnaround time isn't always quick once the provider's moved on to see his other clients. So do you get your med today? Do you have to wait till tomorrow? A lot of places have 24, 48 hour turnaround times on those type of requests. So you may end up a day or two without your meds, especially if, how many times do we have to try another med before we find the one that insurance covers? Because every insurance is different. Providers just can't remember, oh, United's this way, Blue Cross is this way, Aetna's this way, and they all like to change their rules every 6 months.
Brain behavioral health, primary care, and pharmacy, we've been focusing on them, but there is more. There's research. You can have the team introduce themselves through alivation.com. That really is the place to go to really sit down and immerse yourself in the services of Alivation. Research, team, resources, and our shows, our conversations, the podcasts are there too. alivation.com. Next Level You. Matt, thank you very much for explaining the integration of care, the psychiatry, the pharmacy, the primary care, behavioral care, all integrated into Alivation. Have a good weekend.
Yep. Thank you.
Thanks, everybody, for joining us on Next Level You.